The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Lord Budden and Richie McGrath in the studio. Exeter and Southwell are the two domestic meetings, so we have a jumps meeting from Exeter and all weather action on the fibre stand at Southwell, and a big day over in Ireland as well at Leopardstown. It's Irish Hennessy Gold Cup Day, which is a big day to look forward to. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm grand, Mark, and you? Looking forward to this terrific card at Leopardstown.
Yes, we're going to focus on that card at Leopardstown because four grade ones on the card. Few Cheltenham clues on the way as well, but before we get stuck into that racing, Craig, while we're on the subject of Cheltenham and a few clues towards that, has anything screamed out to you of late?
Nothing in terms of a bet, Mark. I just had the one anti-post wager at this stage, which we discussed last week. That's in the Arkell Trifolium. But I think there's a couple of horses I would like to touch on that ran at Doncaster during the week. The first, obviously, Rock on Ruby, who's having his second start over fences. And he only beat one rival in Mr. Mole, but, you know, he clocked a very good time. For only a two-runner race, he jumped well, he was low at some of his fences, but I think he's a clever horse, and, you know, I don't see the Cheltenham fences posing too much of a problem to him. I think, again, he'll just do enough over his fences, and although I wouldn't want to back him at this stage, he's got to be on any shortlist, because he was the best of these by some way over hurdles, and he's a former champion hurdle winner,
yep.
And of course he was second in that race last year. So, he's improving rapidly over fences. We don't know exactly what he's beat yet, but the time he clocked at Doncaster was impressive, and he deserves to take his chance in the Arkell.
Okay, 8-1 for the Arkell, Rock on Ruby. And the noises from the Fry camp as well were very positive after the race. They said that they were happy with him, and I think Noel Feely said that he feels a better horse this year than he did this time last year in preparation for Cheltenham.
Yeah, I think what was interesting as well, that the day before the race at Doncaster, he said if there was 5 mil or more of rain,
yeah,
Rock on Ruby wouldn't run. They got away with it. There was 4 mil fell. So the conditions would have been far from ideal on Thursday for Rock on Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
They all say he's going to be a much better horse on better ground. Whether he gets that at Cheltenham is still very much debatable with this wet spell of weather we're having.
Yeah.
But, you know, in previous years, the ground has dried out and come March time. And he deserves to take his chance, and he's a big runner in the Arkell. I have to say, I was impressed by that performance.
Okay, you say you've already backed Trifolium though.
Yes,
currently 6-1 with us. Does that mean you're worried about Rock and Ruby? Is it enough to change your mind yet?
Isn't enough to change my mind, but prior to his win at Doncaster, I have to admit, I had discarded him. You know, I didn't give him much of a chance for the Arkell, in all honesty. I wasn't all that impressed with his chasing debut at Plumpton.
Mm.
But I think he stepped up a long way and improved from first run to second run over fences for sure at Doncaster. So, you know, if he improves again over fences, he's with that hurdling ability, he's one to be worried about.
Yes. Could all change again, the betting, after Saturday's racing as well, because Dodging Bullets is 11-2 in the market at the moment. He runs on Saturday after we record this, unfortunately, so it could change again.
He's another one that I have discarded. I hope I don't have to change my mind about him after his performance at Newbury, but I ain't too keen on Dodging Bullets as a horse, Mark.
Okay. Anything else in any others?
I think we need to touch on First Mohican as well, who made a very impressive hurdling debut for Alan King, you know, rated in the around 108 mark on the flat. You know, he was keen in the paddock. He was fresh in the early part of the race. He took a keen hold, but he tanked his way through the race and won fairly comfortable. I think he's open to a massive amount of improvement on that. I believe he's heading for the Adonis for his second start. So, you know, he is going to get another run into him before he lines up in the Supreme. And he doesn't have to improve all that much on the bare form of Doncaster to feature in this Supreme Novices Hurdle. And, you know, being such a high-class recruit from the flat, He's one I'd be interested in for the Supreme. There's nothing really in that race at the moment. Takes my eye. I think it's very, very wide open. There'll be some more clues at Leopardstown on Sunday. But First Mohican, you know, he made a very good hurdling debut at Doncaster. I was very impressed with that. And he had some useful horses in behind, some high-rated horses on the flat, and also some horses that have proven a decent level over hurdles already. So, you know, I've got him running to a mark around the 1.35. So he still needs to improve, but after only one start, he's very much entitled to improve, and he's going to be a big player in that curtain raiser at Cheltenham.
Yeah, 16-1 at the moment as well, and if he does improve from that first hurdling start, I don't see 16-1 staying around for too long.
So. Especially now he's going to have another run. The slight doubt is, you know, cramping the three races into a short period of time. He was off for the best part of 3 months, and you know that is the worry. But you know, he didn't have too hard a race at Doncaster. You know, next time hopefully again it's more for educational skip round. Hopefully he wins comfortable and then deserves to line up in the big one.
Okay, should we move on then? Should we move on to Sunday stuff? Because we could see a few more Cheltenham clues there, particularly in this first race we're going to look at, which is the 1.15. This is a spring juvenile hurdle, a grade one over 2 miles. And Ivan Grozny meets again with Plinth. Plinth came out on top last time. And those two are pretty prominent for the Triumph betting, so could be informative.
Yeah, going back to that race at Leopardstown in December at Christmas time, Mark, Ivan Grozny had been off since May, and he had travelled through that race like a much better horse than Plinth. But Plinth, you know, he was all about stamina. He was very novice-y. He had made numerous mistakes in the race, and he did very well to actually get back up after a horrendous blunder at the last. It was a typical vintage AP ride to get the horse back up. So, yeah, Plinth is open to a massive amount of improvement in the jumping department from that first hurdling effort. But Ivan Grozny, of course, has run again since and already improved. And, you know, he obviously came on for the run at Leopardstown over Christmas, and he sprinted clear of his rivals last time. Very, very impressive. Seeing in the paper today, Willie Mullins has expressed a little concern over the ground conditions at Leopardstown, but I don't think they'll be too different from last time, and he's got winning form and heavy ground on the flat, so I don't see that as a problem. I think both horses, you know, there's absolutely nothing to separate them again. I just think Ivan Grozny is just went through that race at Leopardstown like the better of the two, but I certainly wouldn't be discounting Guitar Pete here. And you know, there's form lines that tie in with Guitar Pete, Mark. He cruised past Clark M last time at Leopardstown, and in Ivan Grozny and Plinth's race, Spaceship was back in sixth. Spaceship and Clark M, of course, clashed last week at Musselburgh. Mm-hmm. Clark M gave Spaceship £5 and an 8-length beating. So, strictly on the form book, Guitar Pete is right in the mix here with these other two juveniles. So, you know, looking at the William Hill prices, I can't help but think Guitar Pete is a big price here at 6-1. It was a solid run at Cheltenham when he was second to Royal Irish Hussar. And, you know, he's hurdling. He's very fast, fluent over his hurdles. It was a really taking performance over Christmas at Leopardstown. And I think he looks on the big side here at 6-1. You know, both the other two are open to a little bit more improvement. But just at these prices, he's the one that appeals.
Okay. Yes, betting on site already as well for Leopardstown, so you can have a bet as soon as you listen to this podcast. Ivan Grozny, even money, Plinth 15-8, 6-1 for Guitar Pete, as Craig just mentioned. Tiger Roll 12-1, 16s for Or Gilgo Bay, and 40-1 for Henry Higgins. So there you go.
Just looking at the last three renewals of this race, mm-hmm. Our Connor, of course, won last year, went on to win the Triumph Hurdle.
Yep.
2012. A certain Countrywide Flame finished third in this, went on to win the Triumph Hurdle. Mm. And in 2011, Dermot Wells, fully unaccompanied, won this race. And of course, finished second, just run out of it by Zarkanda in the Triumph Hurdle. So a really strong trend here for horses going on to the Triumph Hurdle in March.
Yes, there you go. How much more informative could a race be than that? Let's move on to the next race, the 2.15 at Leopardstown, which is the Deloitte Novice Hurdle, a grade one over 2.25 miles. And we have betting on site for this one as well. The Tullow Tank, 11-10 market leader. Vortor is 7-4. Quick Pick Vic is 6-1. 12-1 for Azorian. King of the Picts is 16-1 and 100-1 for Draycott Place to spring what will be a little bit of a surprise, I imagine. But the Tullow Tank has been impressive of late, Greg.
Yeah, I would describe him as workmanlike, Mark. Looking at his performances, he had to work hard for his victory at Leopardstown. He was off the bridle some way out, but he looks all about stamina, this horse, for me. I think the step up and trip will definitely suit, but I think we won't see the best of the Tullow Tank till he goes over fences.
Yeah.
He's big, scopey sort, and of course he's a half-brother to Many Clouds, the promising chaser of Oliver Sherwood's.
Mm.
So a good chasing pedigree, and he has been impressive in three starts over hurdles so far. But he's one of these horses that he's posted solid efforts, but he hasn't done it for me yet. And, you know, he's high prominent in the betting for the Supreme Novice Hurdle itself. But I think he could find everything happening a little bit too quick for him in a race such as that. But the step up to 2-2 here will definitely be in his favour. He deserves his place at the head of affairs at the betting here, the favourite, but I slightly favour the second favourite, Willie Mullins, this horse. I've been really impressed with this horse, Vautour. I thought it was an impressive performance at Punchestown in the mid-January, where he had to fight off a strong challenge from Western Boy, but it was the style he grinded that race out in, that realise here that the step up and trip to 2-2 again is going to bring out massive improvement. Willie Mullen said that, you know, that race was run on the inner track at Punchestown and it didn't really suit his lad. And for all the novices and all the talk and question marks over the Willie Mullins horses, is what races they're going to end up at the festival, I've just had the vibes all along that this is one of the better novices. This is one of their better ones. And you know, he's by Robin Deschamps, a great sire, of course, sire Sir Deschamps, Cuvega. So great pedigree. You know, he travels this horse, he finds for pressure. The step up and triple suit, as we said. You know, his previous run at Navan was really strong form when he beat Lieutenant Colonel. You know, that form since been franked. He just went down to Wicklow Brave last week.
Yeah.
So, strong form lines, a really good race. Again, this has been an informative race as regards the novice races at the festival, of course, with Champagne Fever winning this race last year and going on to take the Supreme. But you just need to look back through previous winners of this, and you know, it's a fabulous race for producing good horses, the like of Oscar as well, Dungwib, for Paddy the Plasterer, Mr. Nosey, Brave Inca. You know, it's a really good race. So, one I'm looking forward to, Mark. Not really a race that you would say is a massive betting heat at these prices. And one to mention before we move on is Quick Pick Vic. I was really impressed with his victory at Leopardstown last time, and you know, it looks like everything's coming together for him. He's a little bit older. You know, he is seven, but the other two are open to a little bit more progress. But that was an impressive performance, and I certainly wouldn't rule him out. But at these prices, I'll stick with Willie Mullins' horse, Vautour. Yeah, he's made a big impression on me, and I expect him to run a big race before going on to run in the Supreme Novices Hurdle.
Okay, the 2:45 next, and this is the Dr. PJ Moriarty Novice Chase, a Grade 1 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And whilst there's only three of them in the lineup, it's still pretty competitive stuff. Ballycasey 11-8, Don Cossack 6-4, and Carlingford Lock 11-4 at the time of recording. And you could easily state a case for all three of these.
Yeah, every time I've looked at this race, I started looking at it yesterday morning, and we covered it in a little bit detail during the show on Friday. I've had another look this morning, obviously, with ahead of this podcast, and I just come up with a different horse every time I have a look at it. And the only thing that strikes me is it could be a tactical affair. And, you know, looking at the other two horses, you would think Ruby Walsh and Ballycasey would be the ones to make the run in here. They could just get an easy lead, and it could turn tactical, and he could be the one to quicken off his own pace, if anything. He was impressive on his chasing debut at Navan. He looked in trouble, to be honest, due basically to him starting off at an inadequate trip of 2 miles.
Yeah.
This step up and trip will be much more to his liking at 2 mile 5 on Sunday. He's a big, big runner, is Ballycasey. But, you know, the other two, again, Carlingford Love, I think he's a real contender for the RSA at Cheltenham in March. You know, he was beaten by Don Cossack at the beginning of December at Ferry House, but that was over 2.5 miles. I'd be very surprised if Callum Fadlock didn't reverse that form over a little bit further. Conditions are likely to be much more testing on Sunday than there was at Ferry House, which will suit Callum Fadlock. And providing it doesn't turn into a crawl here, you know, I just find it hard to believe he's the outsider of the three. But because for me, they should all be the same price, each of the three runners here. You know, because there's absolutely nothing to separate them for me. Ballycasey, obviously, as we said, if it turns tactical, he's the one that you would want to be with here because he's going to be out in front. But at these prices, Carlingford Lock is the one that appeals, Mark.
Okay, good stuff. We can also hear from AP McCoy in a few moments as well. He takes a ride on Carlingford Lock and on Plinth in the first race. He had a look at those races and the big race as well, the Hennessy Gold Cup. So we'll hear from him in just a few moments. So stand by, he's coming up shortly. But we're going to move on to the big race, which is the Hennessy Gold Cup. And First Lieutenant heads the betting at 15-8. Tidal Bay 11-4. Lyrian Legend 9-2. Last Installment 5-1. Lord Windermere 11s. 12 to Texas Jack, and Wadami is the 20-1 outsider. So First Lieutenant's formed rock solid. We know all about Tidal Bay now since he moved to Paul Nicholls, and Ruby Walsh teaming up with Paul Nicholls to ride Tidal Bay again. Another interesting jockey booking, Barry Geraghty taking the ride on Lyrian Legend. So a really intriguing race, Craig. Is it as simple as First Lieutenant deserves one of these, or is it? Are you looking elsewhere in the race?
It's a really good renewal. You know, I think one thing that we are certain to see, Mark, is First Lieutenant swinging off the bridle, turning for home, looking the most likely winner, as he usually does at Leopardstown, as he has done in the last two Lexus chases at the Christmas period. But does he really get home over 3 miles when conditions will be as testing as this at Leopardstown? That is the question. He was out-battled and outstayed in this year's Lexus behind Bobsworth.
Which is no shame, really. No
Gold
bad
Cup
thing.
Winner. Yeah. Looked a strong piece of form. This is the first time he's actually run in this race. The last 2 years, he's ran in the Lexus, and then he's been kept fresh and headed straight to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So a change of campaign for this lad. Like I said, I can see him swinging off, looking the most likely winner, turning for home. But I think there'll be one that stays on just that little bit stronger at the death here.
Okay. Which one do you think it will be?
I don't think there'll be a dry eye in the house at Leopardstown on Sunday. I'm sure you can guess from that which one it is, Mark.
I think I can, yes. Tidal Bay?
Tidal Bay has to be the one that, you know, I think this is his last swan song, really. Yeah. A great chance of winning a grade one. You know, his two best performances of late, you have to say, have come in handicaps, carrying massive weights. And the Hennessy, when he, you know, beaten by Bobsworth, the weight he was carrying, it was just an almighty performance. And then more recent times, the Welsh National, you know, he just failed to reel in Mountainous. And in the closing stages, he stayed on from somewhere back. Again, another real good weight carrying performance. And back in grade one company here, you know, conditions is going to be testing. He stays forever. He's reunited with Ruby Walsh. It's all there, Mark. It's all in the script for one final late last lunge from Ruby to try and get this old boy home.
It'd be great to see, wouldn't it? It certainly would. And I've spoken to a few people about this race, and everyone just has the same opinion that they'd love to see Tidal Bay win it. So
yeah,
fairy tale ending.
He's come a long way. He started off with George Charlton, of course, didn't he? And then went to Howard Johnson. He won an Arkell. He's a fabulous horse, and you know, eventually moved on to Paul Nicholls after, you know, he'd gone off the boil, you have to say, a little bit. But Paul Nicholls has brought him back to his brilliant best in recent times. And, you know, just with that weight-carrying performance at Chepstow last time at the age of 13, showed he was as good as ever, because that performance was right up there with his very best.
Yeah. Yeah, top weight and heavy ground and only going down by length, so...
You know, I think he's... For me, his best two performances have came in defeat. He's second in the Hennessy to Bobsworth, and he's third in the Welsh National. Because on both occasions, he was trying to concede weight to real good chasers. Of course, Bobsworth went on to win a Gold Cup.
Yeah.
So, you know, that marks him down as a smart performer over fences. And I think he's the one that will be staying on strongest at the finish.
Okay, good stuff. So Tidal Bay in the Hennessy Gold Cup on Sunday then. A great day to look forward to. at Leopardstown. Can we just have a quick summary of your selections then, Craig, before you go?
Yeah, and in the first race, Mark, the juvenile hurdle, I want to be with Guitar Pete. And then was it the Deloitte Novices Hurdle?
Yeah.
Vatua of Willie Mullins, I think, is the one to be with there. And in the Novices Chase, I would like to be with Carlingford Lough at these prices, 11-4, I think it's currently available at. And of course, the big one, the Hennessy Gold Cup, Tidal Bay.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Sunday's racing at Leopardstown. We can now go to AP McCoy to hear his thoughts on a few of the races. He's going to tell us about Plinth in the opener, Carlingford Lock in the PJ Moriarty Novice Chase, and finally take a look at the Hennessy Gold Cup as well. So without further ado, let's go to the 18-time champion jockey.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
A few triumph hurdle clues maybe here, and a rematch between Plinth and Ivan Grozny. And you ride Plinth, AP, for Aidan O'Brien. You were on board last time when you got the better of Ivan Grozny. Do you think you'll do the same on Sunday?
He's definitely got a chance, but it won't be easy. There's no doubt that it looked like Ivan Grozny put up an improved performance when he won at Nice. He won very well. And it's probably the one we've got to beat. Guitar Pete is not, I think, without a chance either. He's been a good winner last time as well. Hopefully Plinth can improve for his run like Ivan Grozny did when he went to Nice. Both pretty good flat horses. Both seemed to jump pretty well last time. Hopefully the result will be the same as it was the time before. I'm going to go with Plinth to beat Ivan Grozny. Hopefully confirm the form.
Okay, the 2:45 is another race where you're riding. It's the Dr. PJ Moriarty Novice Chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. A Grade One contest with three in the lineup: Bally Casey, Don Cossack, and your ride Carlingford Lock. You could give all three a chance here, really, couldn't you, AP? How do you see it going?
Very much so. You could give them all three a chance. Don Cossack actually beat Carlingford Lock the last time in the Drinmore. Wasn't much between them, but as you said, Don Cossack did beat Carlingford Lock. Carlingford Lock has won since. He won a Grade One at Leopardstown over Christmas. Bally Casey was very impressive when his first start at Navan early on the season. On reputation, Bally Casey has probably the biggest reputation, but the most solid form, I think, is either Carlingford Lock or Don Cossack, and the most consistent form, I think, is probably Carlingford Lock. So hopefully he's got a good chance of winning. I wouldn't, you know, I think a three-runner race, I think he's probably the outside of the three, but I'd be happy enough to stick with mine.
Okay. The big race on Sunday is the 3:50. It's the Hennessy Gold Cup, a Grade One contest over 3 miles. And First Lieutenant heads the betting at 15-8 on Saturday. Tidal Bay 11-4, Lyrian Legend 9-2, Last Installment 5-1, and then 11-1 on bigger prices. The rest. How do you see the Hennessy Gold Cup going?
Very open race. I mean, First Lieutenant, I suppose. Well, to be fair to Tidal Bay, I suppose First Lieutenant and Tidal Bay have the most consistent top level form. First Lieutenant ran very well at Leopardstown behind Bobsworth. You know, I think that's top form. I think that's the best, most recent form there is. Tidal Bay obviously ran very well in the Welsh National. Texas Jack won well last time as well. Rude of Me is a consistent horse. The form of last season's Royal and Sun Alliance hasn't really worked out, so Lord Windermere and Lyrian Legend have got it all defined in Last Installment. Was obviously a decent horse and would probably improve from his first run out behind Texas Jack last time at Thurles. I think First Lieutenant, again, I'm going for another favourite, but First Lieutenant's form behind Bobsworth is very solid, and if he reproduces that, then I think he'll win.
There you go then, the thoughts of AP McCoy and Craig Forsyth on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Richie McGrath in the studio. We have Exeter and Southwell domestically, and a good card to look forward to over at Leopardstown in Ireland. Great racing to look forward to. Make sure you tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.